Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
So, Pastor Mike asked if I would speak on the subject of family unity. Actually, he said unity, and then as he chatted, he said, you know, the family of God, the unity within the church. And I thought, oh, what a thrill that would be to speak here on that subject. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but across Canada, there's been this awakening cry of family and the church to be one. And recently there was in August a huge gathering in our capital called As One. And the battle for Canada, which even took place last week in Newfoundland and British Columbia and all over, there is this cry that they will be one. But who started that? Was it some group in Canada? Or does that actually come from John 17, where Jesus said that they may be one? This has been Jesus' cry for the church. This has been his intercession for us, that, Lord, that they will see his, have the glory that you've given me. How many of you'd like to have the church have the same glory he had? Can your mind go there? Hello? Can your mind go there to have the same glory that he had? He says that the church that walks in unity could expect to have that measure of glory beginning to be manifest in the church. I kind of would like to be around that. In fact, I'd probably fly 1,000 miles just to experience that kind of thing. And so this morning, I want to unpack with you for just a few minutes what it means to be a group who walk in oneness, in unity, for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to take you to Psalm 133. And this is a wonderful psalm. And it talks about unity. And as you read through Psalm 127, rather, maybe it's 133. It's in the Bible. Where's my dad? Yeah, it says, how wonderful. In the King James NIV, it says, how good. How wonderful and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, for it is like the precious oil that is poured on Aaron's head that ran down on his beard onto the border of his robe. Unity is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon and falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore. Now, this verse says something really interesting. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Does anyone have a perfect brother? Does anyone have a brother that's got it all together? Does anyone have a brother that they find a little difficult at times? Yes. Hello, family. We are called to live in unity, even though unity is something you have to choose to strive for. And so the brothers dwelling in unity, not just at some times, but this is the pattern in the family, is also to be the pattern within the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says it's both good and pleasant to dwell together in unity. We understand some of the good things about unity. And we could just go through a litany of texts in Scripture that talk about the benefits of unity. For instance, Genesis 11, when they were working towards the Tower of Babel, the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible to them. Some people think, if I just get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nothing will be impossible to me. Did you know that the Bible actually says that the great power released to the church comes when you walk in unity? And when you walk in unity as a family, as a church, as a corporation, as a mission, nothing is impossible. You want to expand the potential of this church beyond the 500 that it once dreamt of? Well, I believe that unity is a beginning place for you, because the reality is, God said at the very beginning, first words about unity are, they create an unusual potential. They create a huge potential. Second thing we learn is this: but how could one man chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Now, you need to contextualize this text. So many times when people pray, they misquote this. The Lord is talking about where are you turning for strength. And he says this. He says in this text that if you turn for me, nothing is impossible. That's really the message of the text. But he pulls out this example that they would understand, that if you work together, you can do tremendous things. So he says, imagine someone could send 1,000 people to flight. But if you bring two people together, they will send 10,000 people to flight. So he's saying there's this incredible power that's released when you come together. But then he says this, and this is bottom line, friends. But even as great as the power of unity is, if I am not your rock, you don't stand a chance. But if I am your rock, then when you come together with one or two, watch out for what can happen. You see, that text is telling us that first you look to God. But if you look to Him and you expect Him to work, He will increase your victory. He will increase your life beyond anything you can imagine. There's another text like this one that says, two are better than one because they will have a good return on their work. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Isn't it marvelous how protection comes when you've got people who have your back, people who are standing with you? This is one of the reasons why when we do ministry, we need partners. Because it's not just about the finances, it's about what God does when people stand together, move together, believe together. So it adds protection. And it certainly does this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this will only a few people in Brandon know. By this will all people know that you are my disciples if you kind of get along. If you dwell together in unity, if you love one another. Can I be really honest with you? When a church has discord, the city feels it. When a church has discord, the kingdom of God is crippled. When the church has discord, there are things that will affect generations. You can't afford discord. Discord is one of the most costly issues of life. And so this text says, listen, if for no other reason, just so that your boss will come to Jesus, just so that your sister will find Jesus, just so that the people in your community will find Jesus, live together in unity. You see, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. Families aren't that way. But you have to have unity. It's not drinking the same Kool-Aid. And unity is not a place, not just a place in Saskatchewan. I wonder if it really is that way in Unity, Saskatchewan. Is that how it goes? Unity is a place in Christ that I long for you to live. I love this text. It says unity, and you're talking about small groups. Do you know that unity allows the body of Christ to reach its fullest potential? Take a look at this arm, this part of my arm. Well, it needs to be connected, doesn't it? If it's connected, then there's communication. If it's connected, then it's strengthened. If it's connected, then it can be moved for protection. If it's connected, then it's nourished. And listen, dear one, you're only a part of the body of Christ. You're not the whole deal. And if you allow God to take you and use you as the part you're intended to be, then the body, according to the text, is when each part is working properly, it will increase itself, it will grow in love. Oh God, I speak this blessing upon BCA. I speak that they will begin to see an increase because of love. I speak that they will begin to see an increase that comes from your hand because they walk in unity no matter who comes through the doors. And that their vision, their heart, will begin to see blessing come wherever people gather. So my great desire is for you to discover how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Did you know that the devil knows how good and how evil and awful it is for brethren to dwell together in discord? Some of you have heard of a guy named C.S. Lewis, right? He wrote this incredible thing called Screwtape Letters. Anybody read it? It's really this idea of taking you into the war room of hell and letting you understand what's Satan thinking. And so it's a mature demon writing a younger demon, how would you do what you're supposed to do? And so it's quite a novel way of thinking. But, you know, if you want to know what, if you were the devil, this is what you would do. You would sow discord, wouldn't you? And so here's how I think the enemy of our soul would write this text. He would say, behold how ugly and distasteful it is when brothers let strife separate them. It's like a rancid salve applied to the head, the body contaminating, staining even the clothes. Disunity is like a hot, dry wind that kills vegetation and consumes the harvest. What would Screwtape say? He would say, listen, I don't have to stop their prayer meetings. I don't have to stop their worship. I don't have to stop their giving. All I want is one thing. Let me at them by sowing discord. Because if I sow discord, sooner or later, the prayer meetings will stop. If I sow discord, sooner or later, the worship will be stained. If I sow discord, sooner or later, the giving will go down. I understand. All I need to do is sow discord. Because if I do, I win. And that's hell's strategy. Doesn't Proverbs say, one thing the Lord hates, and that is the one who does what? Sows discord among the brothers. Amazing. And so when we come to this issue of walking in unity to discover the power of God, it really is a tremendous thing to understand. The second thing in the text is unity gives witness. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar and the robes. It gives witness. May I just say, in reflecting, coming through the doors this morning, church we were a part of with Carl Kennedy and others, I know where I've written scripture right here. I remember putting drywall on that wall there. And I remember when we chose the color red for the carpet, so blame me. And I remember all of that. And isn't it, you'd remember, you guys would remember, some of you, how we all worked together. And how, like, this small church moved from downtown to this big property, and God helped us. And there was a sense of, we can do it. And there's this one, do you know, my wife and I were 23 and 24 years of age when we became the lead pastors here. You guys were crazy. You're insane. Do you know why it worked? Because people like Phil and Alana said, we're going to stand behind those characters. We're going to make it work in spite of them. And God gave us revival, didn't he? I mean, when we left, there was, including the kids in the bus ministry, we were averaging over 750 the last 4 months I was here. It was just like fun. God was doing incredible things. And it had nothing to do with me. Like, the more I thought it had to do with me, the less the growth took place. And the more I realized it was the family of God working together and the cell groups working together, the more I knew it was growing. Because you see, the oil of the Spirit that anoints doesn't just make you speak in tongues, it makes you walk together. And the oil of the Spirit, when it gives vision so that leadership leads and people follow, something happens. And I can tell you about that because you're sitting in a room that took place. I mean, we never thought we'd have to put up a balcony in less than 2 years. But we did. Why? Because we were walking in unity and vision that came from God, and there was just this anointing that came upon the house. God, send the anointing on the house as they walk in unity. And then it says this, and on his beard. Has anyone in this room ever seen a picture of an ancient Egyptian with a beard? It's against the law of the ancient Egyptians to have a beard. The world versus those who took a Nazarite vow who would have a beautiful beard. What is your beard? It's your commitment. Do you understand what happens when you have a commitment and we stand together? The anointing comes upon our commitment. The anointing, it says it twice, comes upon his beard, even the beard of Aaron. You're looking for God to come upon the commitments you've made. Are you walking in unity? If you are, there's a double portion. It says twice in the text. It says, upon the beard of Aaron, it flowed even onto his beard. And so I want to tell you, leadership will come under anointing when there is unity. Commitments. They'll not just be slavingly fulfilled by the flesh. They'll come under anointing with strength by the Spirit. And third thing is, and the garments. You see, if you say one thing and do another, you can't just wear the clothes, buddy. You need to be the priest. If your character is the character of Christ, if your character is the character that matches what you have been declaring, then I have this wonderful news to you. Get ready. There's so much oil that it will flow down. It will be more than you can manage. God will bless you beyond what you can imagine. He will do substantially above all that you ask or think. So this is the character, the good character of God. Lastly, unity gives life. That's my third point. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. That's where Jerusalem was. Remember, Zion, Jerusalem, St. John. He commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If you have your Bibles and it has a map in the back of your Bible, I'd encourage you to take it and take a look at this. The best I could do is here in Google. And this is a map, a current map of Israel, like giving you the map, the traffic. Now, if you see clearly with this, which it's a little hazy, but Mount Hermon is so tall that they ski on it. And here's a picture of ski season on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is up here, right near Damascus. You wouldn't think there'd be any snow. And there's a huge, right at the base here of Mount Hermon, this lofty, lofty mountain near Damascus, there is this immense marsh. You know it's hot in Damascus, right? What happens to water? What begins to evaporate? Where does it go? Well, the winds gently blow it up Mount Hermon. And then those winds in the evening, generally by the grace of God, switch. And they begin to blow not north, but gently blowing south, a distance easily traveled at night. And when they begin to die in the early hours of the morning, they are carrying water from the marshes of Mount Hermon, and it begins to settle on Jerusalem. How does Jerusalem make it? This arid place with no lake nearby. It makes it because a way that God had established before there was rain. So the longest way of bringing water to vegetation is the way it happens. And if you've been to Israel, you know you can literally wring out a towel that you would leave on the rail of your balcony in the morning. You can wring it out because of the dew of Mount Hermon. There is so much that he brings daily, regularly to Israel because they choose that. It says, how blessed are those who dwell together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, and it comes and it will descend on your life, and it will bring you life and refreshment on a regular and consistent basis. As the worship team comes, let me tell you just a little bit about dew. It doesn't come as individual drops, but it comes as a mist, all the drops being together. It doesn't come with thunder and wind. Oh, come on over here. All the thunder is happening. There's a lot of wind blowing in the area. You ought to come. It doesn't come just on special occasions. But it comes by God's design. There was a church in Trinidad that needed to move its building, a steel shed. They had grown from 150 to, about 700. And the pastor had tried to find a moving company that would bring in some equipment that could move their building over to a foundation that had been created for it. No one would move it. The building had to be destroyed because the new building for the larger congregation was going to be built on that spot. The pastor said after prayer, he said, I want everyone to be here Saturday morning. And I want you to come in your work clothes. That Saturday morning, about 300 people showed up at the church. The worship team began to play and they prayed. And the pastor said, oh, do you see this pile of bamboo sticks over here? And everyone said, yes. He said, I'd like you to go and every man take a bamboo stick. And they took a bamboo stick. Then he said, what I'd like you to do is you see those holes in the cement, in just above the cement foundation here in the steel building? Well, we drilled holes all around the building. And I'd like you to stick the bamboo through the hole. And then I'd like for one person to stand inside the building and take a hold of the pole. And I'd like another person to stand outside the building and take a hold of the pole. And as the worship team began to play, he said, in Jesus' name, I tell you, he didn't know if it would work or not. He said, I tell you, lift. And they lifted in a building, came up off its foundation. And then he said, now march slowly to the new foundation. And they carried the building to where they were going. And they put it down. 300 people carrying the church, all working together, got the job done. Will you take a hold of the bamboo pole at Bethel Christian Assembly? And will you lift for the glory of God? Will you let him do what only he can do? He's going to move you into a destiny that only he has in mind. And if you'll get a hold and lift, who knows what God can do? I'm a stakeholder here. I believe God wants to do something. I believe he wants to do it by you taking a hold. Just a moment, Glenn's going to lead us with the worship team in a beautiful song. But I want to talk to somebody here because, lady or man, some of you have made some judgments, and unless you shed them, you will not walk in unity. And some of you have made those judgments against yourself. You feel inferior. You feel slighted or hurt. And you have to let go of that if you're going to be a family. Because families ain't perfect. If you'll say, God, right now I choose the power of unity over my own selfish ways or will, and I invite you to come, he will. And I believe there's a prophetic sense of destiny in this room this morning. As you let go of anything that would keep you from holding on and lifting with all your soul, I believe God is going to release you right now. So in the balcony on the main floor, as you say, in Jesus' name, I let go of judgments. In Jesus' name on the main floor, I let go of judgments, whether against others or myself. I let go of them, and I choose now to come into the family and love. That everything God said could happen when unity is there will happen. I choose it now. In Jesus' name. If you let that go, it will happen. Now, I've wrestled before the Lord with what to say and do in this closing moment. And I believe as we worship with Pastor Glenn and then he pronounces a benediction, someone in this room, you're going to know what it means following this service to act out what unity means. It may mean going and serving someone. It may mean writing a letter. It may be making a phone call. It may be just going and helping. I don't know. Maybe signing up for small groups. Maybe taking that gift you haven't used and using it. I don't know. God will speak to you. But unity is much more than holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Do you get that? Unity is commitment. Unity is letting the Spirit of God have his way. And I sense Jesus is praying for Bethel Christian Assembly that they may be one. And get this. That they may have my glory. So, Father, let your glory fall. Let your goodness pervade. In Jesus' name. Would you stand as Glenn and the team lead?
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.